College Golf Talk is back, and we are back on the road. Steve Rutkowski, Brentley Romine with you. We did it. Scotland, I believe, St. Andrews a year and a half ago, and now we're in Hilton Head, Long Cove, Darius Rucker Intercollegiate. How about, and we've got some special guests coming up throughout this week's edition.
Yeah, it's a little bit maybe warmer quarters than we did at the Roussacks with David Ingles that evening, but yeah, good to be back in Hilton Head. I will say we have to start this episode on kind of a down note, a sour note. Your Hilton Head staple, Stacks Pancakes, I drove past it. It looks...
it's gone. It was gone last year, unfortunately. Oh. Yeah. So what is it?
20? News to me.
Yeah, late 24, they shuttered its doors.
Because you don't live down here. You would have kept it in business.
One of my top three favorite breakfast joints in the world. But now Hilton Head Island Diner right down the road.
Oh, that's your new spot.
My new spot.
Yeah, there was cardboard in our boards.
Looks pretty disheveled when I drove by it this morning. But it's great to take it on the road again. A couple of special guests coming your way, but a lot to get to. We're going to dive right into it. Quick results from this previous week. Colorado winning in Wyoming Desert Intercollegiate. UTSA winning at home, the Military City Collegiate. Stetson by 8 over Southern Miss at Dorado Beach Collegiate. A quick recap, because the preview of the two headliners for the men this week, man, they got to separate them, don't they?
You think so? Yeah.
Because they're both so strong, and maybe they just want to see who can outdo each other. Let's start at Southern Highlands in Vegas, top four in the country, Virginia, Auburn, Florida, Texas. But a couple of those teams still missing some key ingredients.
Yeah, we were wondering, you know, what's the severity of the back issue that Luke Poulter is battling for the Florida Gators? Didn't play their home event. I think the expectation was that he was going to be back for this. But, you know, clearly, I don't think it's anything overly concerning, but clearly just want to give him a little bit longer maybe to rest up. They have the depth to withstand that. They're still in that territory for number one seed for NCAA regionals. And then Texas, no Danny Bennett, but we're going to see him at the Arnold Palmer Invitational as he makes his, I believe it's his PGA Tour debut at Bay Hill this week. So excited to see Danny Bennett tee it up in a signature event. But no Luke Poulter, but still a lot of really stout names. Koivin, Ben James, Christian Moss.
Tommy Morrison.
I mean,
yeah. And that golf course is so good. The folks out there.
I wish it was closer. I'd go more.
And I had a good little run back in the day going out there, getting features, getting B-roll. Those guys do such a great job. Haven't been to Cabo, but so many people for that event said another extremely well-run tournament. Vanderbilt, Arizona State, Arkansas, and Oklahoma State. I mean, we've just rattled off 8 teams right there that conservatively, 4 of them probably make match play at La Costa.
Yeah, there's kind of a trend too. Like, you know, Vandy always plays Cabo, Oklahoma, Florida, they always go to Vegas. Obviously, J.C. Deacon, the longtime Florida coach, was an assistant under Dwayne Knight at UNLV back in the day. So they go to their separate corners and they have their allegiances, but again, it's a who's who of college golf. And touching on Virginia, because we touched on them during the college golf preview show last week, and we talked about Ben James. This could be a really big opportunity for him to grab a PGA Tour card. He's already got a sizable lead, but as we talked about, he deleted all social media from his phone at the start of the season, has no idea how much he leads by, where he ranks, has no idea what's going on. I'm very interested to see him and Jackson Koivin and the same pairing, and it might be the second straight tournament. They're going to be both at the Haight next weekend, likely be paired there as well. But one other bit of news too, out of Cabo, Arkansas, I tapped them as a, maybe not a sleeper, but a team
under the radar,
a team that would definitely be more improved than fighting the 500 rule and being right around that NCAA regional bubble the last couple of seasons. Brad McMakin's done a great job, but John Daly II, I think back to the days when John Daly was winning majors and leading the tour driving distance. Little John's going to make his PGA Tour debut in Puerto Rico. that makes, if that doesn't make you feel old, we were, we're talking about how old we are in some of the interviews coming out later in this podcast, but that's got to make you feel old.
Well, and John Daly II had a great 2025. Things started coming together, started competing at the highest level, amateur golf. So, maybe the next step forward. Gosh, what if we saw another John Daly went on the PGA Tour? I'm not saying it's going to happen in Puerto Rico, but he's pretty darn good.
And admittedly, he wins the Transmiss or the Southern Amateur last year. That's at the blessings. And you kind of are like, well, it's his home golf course. I need to see more. Well, and he goes out and makes the quarterfinals of the U.S. Amateur. And I thought it was so cool that Brad McMakin, the head coach, actually owned up and admitted to, look, I started messing with his swing. I'm the one that got his ball striking off. And credit, to a good coach to know when to step back after that and say, look, you need to do something else. I'm done tinkering, and little John's figured it out. He's hitting it the best he's ever hit the last year or so.
We will recap both of those events and everything else next week, but certainly spend a lot of time on that. Want to shift over to the women. Stanford dominant again, 22-shot victory at the Bruin Wave over Pepperdine. Paula Martin, San Pedro wins individually. What is that, four different Cardinal players to win this season?
And they did it last year for the first time. And Ann Walker said it. I went back and watched our regional selection show last year, and that was what she said. And Ann Walker's big picture, right? National championships are bust. That was one of the little carrots that she said, look, I'm super proud that we had four individuals. I've never had that happen as a coach. I don't remember the last time that's happened on another team back-to-back years. That just shows how dang good they are. It's one of those things where we say it all the time. We might not give them the credit because this is expected. Like, we expect them to go out and win by 30 shots.
And it's something I remember Ann shared with me last year, and you as well, when we do a little breakfast with Burko, the coaches. She wants to make sure those particular teams, those young ladies, appreciated that it's not an expectation. Like, this isn't easy, what you're doing, what you're accomplishing. It's kind of the payoff of all the hard work. As soon as you said that, it resonated with me of this doesn't happen all the time. And take a moment. And she kind of said that as a coach. Like, you might not be good next year. Yeah. Unlikely to be the case for Stanford, but
and they've switched it up a little bit too. They typically play their the events that they play every year, more West Coast, same grass. Obviously, when you play a national championship on the West Coast in the state of California, it makes sense to stay more regionally. But they played some different events. They played Arizona's event a couple weeks ago. Played the Bruin Wave. They don't normally go down there to play that, but they're beating anybody and everybody right now by a lot. And I was talking to coaches out here today, and like, it's not a matter of if they're going to win stroke play, it's just by how much.
One day, let's get them to Long Beach. Let's help out Bob Pat, and let's see if we can get them to South Carolina. Kiara Romero, Oregon junior, she wins individually at the Chevron Collegiate in Houston, but the Ducks finished second to North Carolina. Arkansas, indifferent, tied for six, but you and I on that spring preview show, we're talking about Kiara Romero, and all right, waiting for it. When, lo and behold, and you said, oh no, we don't have to wait anymore. She goes out, she wins the event, and when you're that good and so much expected, a word you're saying with Stanford, I think you and I, we easily fall into the scenario of, Kiara is so darn good, why doesn't she win every time? Well, it's easier said than done, but maybe a little switch up has got her back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, during the East Lake Cup, we had talked a little bit about her switching to a lab putter, and that experiment was short-lived. She's back in a Scotty, a mallet, which is, we've seen, all but one winner on the PGA Tour right now is in a mallet. Some have been rolling the mallet forever. Some recently switched, but that's the X factor for her. Like, if the putter is off, she's not going to win tournaments, but she'll finish second or finish third. She's that good. The ball striking and the power is there. But if she can figure out something with this putter, and I mean, she's going to be a threat at Augusta National. She's going to be a threat at regionals. She's going to be a threat at La Costa. And she's going to be a threat ultimately when she turns professional. But it was funny. We do a little bit of research, you know, try to at least before some of these shows on TV and for these podcasts. And yeah, I'm taking two kids to Chick-fil-A, just picked them up from school, and had no idea that Oregon was playing. And I texted Derek Bradley and I said, just need a few things. How's the team looking? What do you feel like has held Kiara back from winning this season? And he texts back, he goes, she just won by 4 shots. So a little peek behind the curtain there that sometimes we put our foot in our mouth pretty easily, and no credit to her. But I said this too, when you're that good and you have all these seconds and thirds and top fives, we're going to focus on the fact that there might not be the prolific amount of wins as a Rosang. And Rosang set the bar so high recently, at least in more of the modern day, that it's tough to live up to. But, you know, I would argue that Kiara, the best player we've seen since Rose in college golf. It hasn't been that long, but I think she's earned that over the last few years.
And before Rose, the bar was set by Lorena Ochoa. A little tease on maybe one of the special guests joining us.
It's not Lorena, though.
No, that would be, we'd be leading with Lorena, but someone that was front and center for her two magical seasons in college golf at Arizona. Quickly, some other results. Oklahoma State, a 5-shot win over FGCU at the Momentum Transportation UNF Collegiate. Missouri, also a winner over Arizona at the Westbrook Invitational. And before we get to a couple of our special guests, tournament name of the week, what do we got?
Well, I think the Momentum Transportation is, there's a backside to that, to the rundown. But we have actual printed out rundowns, which were
a rarity. We're never in the same place.
Correct. It's usually just an email, but it's, I tell you what, it's been a while since I've worked a printer. So it wasn't pretty, but I think Momentum Transportation is probably in the running. It's better than the opposite of that, which would be not having any momentum and trying to transport something. More Than Golf Invitational. Now, apologies, I don't have the hosts.
That's
I didn't
all right.
Print that out.
Keep it very loose.
We have the Freedom Classic, which I do know that. That's a match play event hosted by Georgia Southern. And then the Causeway Invitational, which you're the expert in roads.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a causeway and a freeway and an expressway and a highway?
I truly have no clue, but I'm going to say a causeway maybe has something to do with water going in over water or around water, and I'm literally pulling that out of the thin air.
Or maybe it just connects important places. You know, you're going somewhere with a cause.
We're going to have to do some research on that. And as I did flip it over, yes, we're at the Darius Rucker Intercollegiate for the top 10, 9 of the top 20. LSU's won 2 the last 3 years. Auburn, they've got momentum. Wake, a strong fall. A couple of our guests coming up going to dive deeper into sharing their teams. But, you know, you have what stands out about Long Coast. Everything. Maybe my favorite place in the world, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Bob Patton, director of golf, 4 decades of being a fixture here. The membership, the support, the weather. You will see as many people out here as you'll see anywhere else in college golf. And I'm including the NCAA championships.
Arguably more if the
Correct.
Weather's good.
Remember with the interview I did out here a few years ago outside
ASU
the clubhouse?
One. Yeah.
Hundreds hanging over the rafters, popping out the door.
They bring them by the busload. Like they have these
they have a parking
like
lot.
Trolley car Correct. Looking things and they just pour out. People ride their bikes here. It's like the bike rack is maybe Stacked. The biggest bike rack I've ever seen. Like it's has to be
it's
20 yards long.
It will, and I don't want to cheat the guests that we've got coming up, they'll get into it deeper, but I think it's a good barometer of where you are on a really good golf course, and you can learn about your team as well of, ooh, maybe we got work to do.
They could host a national championship here. If whenever, or if they even want to,
from a golf course standpoint,
correct.
Yes.
In a crowd
yep.
standpoint, and the embrace, but, as far as, I mean, it's a loaded field. You mentioned as far as favorites, I think you would agree. It's You could go with Auburn. You can go with Wake Forest. You can go with Arkansas, although the Razorbacks are coming off very tough showing at the Chevron. They were tied for sixth. Maria Jose Marin played well, but two stalwarts in the fall, Abby Shute and Reagan Zabilski, had their worst finishes. Now, Abby's won twice this season, but just shows that there isn't maybe a definitive number two right now behind the Stanford Cardinal. But it was interesting. I was talking to Melissa Llewellyn from Auburn, the head coach, who we had on our preview show last week, and was asking her, look, we know Hannah's been great. They lost Bama Davalos to injury, their sophomore who had a great fall. Katie Cranston won at UCF. But she said really what's kind of brought them to this next level is transfer Molly Brown Davidson, which is interesting. And this is something, Berko, that you could probably mention on the broadcast. But she started out at Alabama. Both her parents and her brother went to Auburn. So she was already straight.
Yeah, doghouse.
Now, I don't know what she majored in at Alabama, but her dad, I guess, is a pilot. Her brother is a pilot. Auburn has a really good aviation school. She wants to be a pilot. And so she transferred. She's doing aviation as her major. And Melissa says it's kind of hard to get her, you know, 100% focused on the golf because she's looking up when there's a plane flying over. So I thought that was neat because, you know, initially you expect, right, how do you get someone from Alabama to transfer to Auburn once they enter the portal? Lo and behold, she was born an Auburn Tiger. Her dad did some business in Tuscaloosa when they were good in football. So that's maybe a little bit. She really loves Mick Potter as well. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. You don't always get you know, someone who has that kind of specific interest, especially on the women's side.
I'm going to end before we get to our first guest. You talk about Abby Shute. I'm going to pose it to you. Her father did something in college golf. It's sort of a two-pronged answer. Why would Abby Shute's father be known in the college game?
Well, he was a coach, right?
He maybe became a coach. Well, I'll give you the answer. Warren Shuda won the NCAA individual championship at Poppy Hills in the early 90s. He doesn't win. Phil Mickelson wins four straight NCAA individual championships.
So is that the correct pronunciation?
It is. Warren Shuda was how it was pronounced in the early 90s. I asked Abby last year, and everyone's like, it's pronounced Shuda. Her dad's Warren. That's kind of my time frame of age, shall we say. And I said, I got to ask you how to pronounce your name. She said, Shute. I said, am I losing my mind? Because your dad's Warren Shuda. Did I say Scooter? Shuda? Now you got me thinking. When he turned professional, let's just say that last name would get butchered and maybe not sound exactly. And he finally said, all right, I'm going to make this easy. You're Abby Shute. It's Warren Shuda. I'm backtracking. Warren Shuda won it when he was at UNLV. And I think Phil might have finished third or fourth at Poppy, but Shuda was the guy that did that. But yes, Abby laughed and said, my dad's name got butchered on the first tee getting introduced. He made it real easy and said, shoot. Spelling's still the same. And her dad, NCAA individual champ.
That would be like me just getting tired of people calling me Romaine and just switching the pronunciation. Who's a team we haven't talked about that you have your eye on?
Oh, Texas. I'm still bullish on them. I think they've got a really good 1-2 punch in Farrah O'Keefe, Lauren Kim, Laura Iannello, we saw her earlier. Maybe now getting settled in, going from the desert down to Austin. I've always been bullish on Northwestern, and then the 1 year I backed off, they won it all. So I'm waiting to see this Longhorn team kind of roll up their sleeves and get after it.
I got my eye on Duke. Don't be surprised if not this week. I talked to a different coach, not Dan Brooks, but I was asking this coach. I don't want to say guy or girl because that could give it away. I said, who's a team to maybe keep an eye on sleeper-wise for a national championship? Because we're talking about how behind Stanford, it's as wide open as ever. The fact that Stanford's in the fold, though, makes it not wide open. And they said Duke. We saw Rianne Malixie do what she could do in Jacksonville earlier this spring. Had a rough start to the fall, but if she's the player who we saw two summers ago, Andy Smith, a nice veteran presence. They got a couple young international girls as well. I keep an eye on Duke.
We will keep an eye on Duke. Time now for our guests to begin, and we'll start with Kaylin Anderson. Now with our first special guest here on College Golf Talk, Kaylin, good to have you. Thanks for having us back again at Long Cove. Let's start right there. Year 14 of this event, this venue, Darius and his involvement. Did you ever think when this was being talked about that, as Greg Allen and others have said, it's as good as any event we have played all year?
I agree. You know, I think we set out initially when we started this event to make it the best in college golf, to just kick it up a notch and do something very different than what's been done. And I think we've accomplished that. And it's just grown every year. You know, it's enhanced every year with you guys coming on board and Golf Channel, obviously, the last 4 or 5 years. Phenomenal. And this has just grown and grown and grown. And the excitement around it, the buzz around it is just so fun.
I'm looking at this field list, 4 or 5 top 10 teams in the country. You guys are 18th and almost in the bottom half of the field, but you've brought favorites into this event. You guys have won this event. You've not played well in this event. You've kind of run the gamut. What can an event like this with this field and this golf course this late in the spring do for you guys as you ultimately prepare for conference regionals?
Yeah, I mean, this tournament field and this championship golf course is going to set a tone, and you can gain a lot of momentum here. So that's kind of the exciting part, I think. You know, with this as a national championship type field, you've got this pretty difficult, challenging golf course that it can be scoreable when it's calm, but you get the winds coming up and you can get anything out here. But just to play in this field with this competition and to play well in it is huge. And really, even now with our new kind of ranking system and the amount of points that you can get, I'm guessing, I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm guessing that there's going to be a pretty good amount of points. You know, divvied out after with the you know, elite side of this field, mostly teams being in the top 20.
Depends. If you win by too much, the bumpers will come
up. That's true. That's actually not true. I will tell you that. But
well, why isn't it true?
Well, there's guardrails, right?
Well, that's right. I call
there are bumpers. No other bumpers, but being on the committee, there are guardrails, and it's not if you win by too much, it flops you back down. It's just it's not like if you win by too much, you're going to get less. That's not the case at all. You're just going to get hit. You're going to hit hit a max point. You can get it. So whether you win by 40 or 45, it's not going to matter.
And everybody,
we chatted a little bit earlier about your team. You were the last one to enter your lineup.
Yes.
Yes. Talk about where this team stands right now. What gives you confidence? And it's pretty tough to lose Hannah Darling and then Luis Rittquist, but how has this team managed?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've lost a lot of leadership this year. You know, it's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, you know, it allows others to step up in that role. But obviously, Luis and Hannah being, you know, both top 20 in the world or top 15 in the world, even top 10 in the world at the same time, is, you know, that's you don't have many teams like that where you get that chance. And we also lost a starter in Sophia Burnett. She was our senior, and she was very, very consistent for us, you know, late in the season and all of last year. So this has been, it's been a little bit of a growth year. We have a very young team. We're maturing together. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of talent. But it's, you know, you got your ups and downs. And this is just a year where we're, you know, dealing with a lot of adversity and kind of trying to find our place and our kind of start gelling and find our rhythm.
What can the ceiling be for a team like this? Because you have gone to Greyhawk and La Costa as one of those few, and it hasn't quite panned out. So are you, not that you wouldn't want to be number one or two or three, but do you like maybe, they're not talking about it.
Yeah, you know, I think the underdog mentality is, you know, maybe puts us in a different position than we've been in the last 5 years. And there's, you know, it's a good place to go from. You know, I look at our last couple tournaments, we've had a couple poor rounds, but our last rounds have been either the lowest round of the tournament or the second lowest round. So they're competitive and they can do it, and they can play with anybody in the country. It's just putting the consistency behind it. And I think that's just part of having a young team. And And, you know, I think we're and if we can time it right in the postseason, it's going to be a dangerous team, especially with that mentality, that underdog mentality, and not having as many expectations as we've had probably in the past.
Bigger picture of the college game, you were a standout at Duke. You've nearly been at South Carolina for two decades. The time has gone. I'm still older because I covered Kalen at Duke. What's your perspective and perception of where women's college golf is, college sports as a whole changing? Where are we in 2026?
Well, 2026, women's golf can be in a better place. In my mind, I mean, look at what's going on here. We got the two best experts in college golf right here with us at Long Cove, the Darius Rucker Collegiate. But, you know, I mean, what growth we've had in the sport, just the depth of the field, the depth of the teams has gotten so good. I mean, back 25 years ago when I was playing, it was, you know, there was, you know, maybe two, three, four standout teams that were competing every week. Now you've got the entire field pretty competitive. On any given week, you know, you can get a different winner. So, you know, the environment of college athletics has changed. There's been a lot of movement. You know, you get in the rev sharing, NIL, and it's a totally different environment than it was 5 years ago and certainly 15 years ago. So, you know, it's just being able to adapt, change, and kind of shift with the times. And I think we're going to see a lot more change coming here in the next 3 to 5 years, just as things kind of get dialed in and maybe some boundaries put on things or maybe not. So it's kind of an exciting time and also a time that's a little challenging too.
Putting your committee member hat on for a second, you mentioned change coming. What change, if you had to pinpoint it, what change would you like to see in the women's college game?
You know, I think I'd like to see, to be completely honest, well, the LPGA University, essentially, which is already, you know, Courtney Trimble, being our new WGCA, you know, CEO president, is done a great job kind of starting to get that moving in the right direction. I think that's going to help the women's game and the college game quite a bit. I would personally, I think we've done a lot with Golf Channel, with you guys. I think some of this is, you know, some of the things we've talked about is, you know, how do we neutralize regionals a little bit better? How do we maybe figure out how to reward some of the top seeds a little bit better? You know, at some point, you know, I think just even getting, there's so many great golf courses for the women that might be different from the men. At some point, are we going to split again? Are we going to stay with it? You know, there's been a lot of ideas. I mean, we've put some really great legislation through already, just in, I don't know if I'm able to speak about it yet, but I mean, even just taking some stipulations off international travel and making things a little bit more free moving, but just trying to kind of grow it and, you know, let people do what they need to do.
So, well, as a company who hosts an international event, I think we kind of
my mind went there.
We kind of like what the tea leaves are showing there. My idea for regionals, just let Stanford host every year. It's a great golf course. They're going to advance no matter what. That would be my idea. But you have a pretty great player in your own right, Ellie Golitzky, now a sophomore, arrived this season last year. But he might be struggling to kind of get it going this year. Well, what have you seen from her and where does she need to get to ultimately get you guys to where you want to
be? Right, exactly. You know, Ella's still very young. I think, you know, you see her talent level is just phenomenal. The ceiling, there's no ceiling there. You know, I think Ella came in last, we talked about expectations a little bit, but you had Louise and Hannah kind of as leaders and she didn't have a lot of pressure on herself to, or internalized pressure to be that person. She had a really strong leadership behind her and she can kind of free will, you know, and I think this year it's a little bit different. She starts out then has a great US amateur, starts out with a win at the Annika, and you know, we've talked a lot about expectations and how she's feeling about that, and you know, I think it's you're gonna have your ups and downs, and like I told her, this is the time to have your ups and downs, learn how to practice, learn how to get through them, but she's a phenomenal player. Well, you know, we'll get it turned around. We just need a little more. You know, she's playing great golf and just getting, you know, getting everything sorted out, both on and off the golf course and getting organized, you know, but that's just part about being a freshman and a sophomore and being in college and figuring out that next step of college golf to professionalism.
One last thing before we let you go, what drives you now as a coach? Again, great player, you've spent time, the highs, the lows, what continues to motivate you to believe that you can bring a national championship back to Columbia?
Well, I mean, I think Columbia, University of South Carolina, we have the facilities, we have the golf courses. This is South Carolina, the biggest industry is golf. You know, we've got great leadership. I think that, you know, it's a phenomenal place to be, but, you know, we haven't brought the championship home, but, you know, that is my passion. That's where my drive is, but it's also developing new players onto the next level, onto their dreams and the relationships you have doing it and the time you spend, you know, building that relationship and then that camaraderie, doing it while they're with you for the 4 years. It's just been important, and it keeps me ticking. It's exciting to watch it grow and develop on and off the golf course.
One of the best to do it, Kaylin Anderson, when it's golf coach South Carolina. Always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Pleased to be now joined by Greg Allen, women's golf coach, Vanderbilt. 19 years now? Is that what?
19. Yeah, been a while.
Where did the time go? Let's first and foremost hit this week Long Cove. We were just having the discussion of this event, maybe the very best on your schedule, one of the very best all season long. Why is this one so good for you and everyone that's involved?
Well, we've been fortunate enough to come here every year. I think it started maybe in 2012. And before I got into coaching, I worked at the AJGA and ran a golf tournament here, the Flex Tournament Champions in 95 or 96. So I know how good this golf course is. It's a beat die golf course. It's so good. Bob Patton, the pro now, with the pro back then, he's been here for a long time. And the way the members come out and support this thing and then the community, weather be good, we may have 3,000-5,000 folks come out and watch, and then having it on the golf channel, having Darius concert, like it's the place to be. It's so good. I'm a big fan of the coffee here, big coffee lover, and Long Cove coffee special. It's a fun week. They put you in the house together, so you're with your team pretty much 24/7. So you really get to know everybody well, and this golf course, it demands your best mentally and from a golf standpoint. Like, you've got to hit really good golf shots or you can get punished.
Now, the coffee has to be in styrofoam, though.
It has to be in styrofoam. It'd be so much better if my man Scott Limbaugh was here, because we do enjoy a good cup of coffee from some styrofoam.
But more seriously, this is one of the best fields, if not the best field of the regular season. What can a week like this do for a team like yours? Be a big confidence boost, but you could find yourself getting your teeth kicked in.
Well, we have before. We've played well here a lot, but we've also had some moments where we have. And I think last year we were, if we'd had a good final round, we could have made a good charge. We did have a final round. I think we ended up finishing eighth. But yeah, it is. It's. I told the girls, it's probably the strongest field you'll see until the national championship. I mean, one through, I think there's 18 teams. All of them are ranked and really good. And so it's still early enough in the year that you can figure some things out after this before you jump into SECs and postseason. But yeah, you've got to putt it well. You've got to be good off the tee. You've got to hit good iron shots. And if you miss the green, you better be missing in the right place, or you're going to have a really hard up and down.
That said, the calendar now tells us it's March. What have you learned about your team, and why do you think maybe they can make a run, especially in April and May?
Well, you said 19 years. This may be one of the deepest teams we've had at Vanderbilt in a really long time. We got 7 girls that are competing for the 5 spots, and probably the hardest has been on me trying to pick the 5. And y'all know Limbaugh's had some really good teams, and he told me some of his most challenging coaching moments are when he's had his better teams trying to figure out that lineup. And so we've had some fun at home in qualifiers, and I think by the end we'll have the right 5 in there. And I'm excited about the 5 this week, and we've got an individual here, so they're playing 3 more rounds this week on the same golf course, just trying to fight for spots. But we've got 2 really good seniors in Lynn and Tilly, and got 2 juniors and a sophomore and a freshman here and a freshman at home. So I really like our squad, and they're getting along great, and they're working really hard, and they're having fun doing what we're doing.
You've coached deep teams at Vanderbilt, also back earlier in your career at Arizona, coached one of the very best to do it, Lorena Ochoa. I feel like I've asked you this question maybe 2 or 3 times already, but what's your best Lorena story from coaching her in college?
Oh, gosh. I mean, off the golf course, we went to this place, and she loved to eat buffalo wings. Coach, buffalo wings. And we'd go eat buffalo wings. Back in your, first got to know you, Berko.
Yes, sir.
And we would go this place and we'd get a pile of 50 wings and styrofoam cups with Big Red. Do they still make Big Red?
They do.
We would eat these wings and we couldn't wipe. You couldn't use a napkin until we were done. And she would have it all over her face. And then we'd have to pick up our styrofoam and then it got all nasty. But she was just so much fun. She was an athlete. She could mountain climb. She could bike. She could tennis. She could, like, she did some, whatever it's called when you
triathlon.
There you go. And
I did some of those back in the day, believe it or not.
No way.
Yeah. Really? Sprint triathlon.
Oh, off record. We're off the deal. We'll have to talk about that. Pretty cool. But she was just like, she was so good on the golf course. She was back in the day. I mean, she hit it really long but her short game was phenomenal. She could get up and down from anywhere. And I think that freed her up where she could be super aggressive in the flags. And, let's see what other. I mean, she won 12 out of 20 college tournaments. I think her worst finish was ninth and a third, and then everything else was a first or second.
You know who would know that? This guy.
Oh, please, bro.
Yeah. Well, until Rose Zhang a few years ago, I've always maintained it is the greatest season of golf ever played. That sophomore year, her last, and you clean me up. Wins her first seven, finishes second at conferences, wins regionals. Finished second at Nationals to Rada near a path pond court. Then Rose Zhang all of a sudden. I always forget, though. Was it Candy Kung?
Candy Hanneman beat her the first year.
Yeah, but
could have been.
Right? Yeah. But she lost to two players. And yes, I'm old enough. You said it. And I believe it was 0-2. And 2 years in, and I always remember Greg telling me, hey, by the way, she's turning pro next week. And I'm new to this. And I said, okay, well, I'm on a red eye. We were in Washington State. And I said, could we tape an interview that I will hold? And then when you say it's go time, I've got the interview. So we were in a courtyard, at the courtyard in Washington State, sitting down with Lorena Ochoa, treating it like it was live, if you will. So when the news came out a few days later, and then that's when I knew, hey, Greg Allen was a good man to entrust me of doing this. And it's not the Buffalo Wings, but that's my sort of Lorena moment of, wow, that's kind of cool. And lo and behold, look what she did.
Incredible.
A decade of dominance. And now.
And that's always what she wanted. Yeah. She wanted to be the best player in the world, not play forever, and then be a mom. And that's what she did.
She's checked every box.
Yeah.
We've talked about your longevity. So much has changed in college sports, maybe not as much in college golf. What are some of the good changes and what are some of the ones you're not as thrilled about in all your time leading programs?
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, the girls get so much better at such a young age. And the I feel like administrations, like our athletic director, Candace Lee, play college basketball. So my boss played college athletics, so she gets it, and she, we've got an unbelievable facility. I'd say facilities across the board are getting better, and budgets maybe a little bit bigger. We're able to recruit more and kind of go all over the world to recruit, and then when the players get on campus, just the things they have available to them. And back to Candace, she does a good job of making sure we have everything the boys have, and so. You know, I don't know where we're going with NIL and the transfer portal in golf just yet. That you know, I feel like in basketball and football, it's just crazy. I don't think we're there yet. We're probably trending. I mean, probably all sports are headed that way. I don't know. I mean, I've been doing it a long time. I still love it. I love being around, getting to know young folks and their families and bringing them in to be a part of our family and what we're doing at Vanderbilt. And My kids, when they were younger, used to look up and have older sisters. And now my oldest is 30. And now they're looking down at my players like, oh, my gosh. And so it's fun. And I think when I stop having fun with it, it'd probably be time to move on to do something else or just enjoy retirement. But still having a lot of fun with it right now.
I'm surprised with how long you've been doing this. You didn't get an invite to the college roundtable at the White House this morning.
Yeah, no, I don't think they want me there. Guys like Hacker be a good one for that.
Hepler,
Limbaugh,
Do you think the White House, do you think Trump's ready for Limbaugh?
Oh, yeah. He can handle Limbaugh. Limbaugh would be great.
How has your coaching style changed these last 6 or 7 years?
I feel like, well, this year I'm walking a lot more with our freshmen. You know, I feel like back in the day, I would just kind of hang out, watch, and then just talk after the round. But I feel like maybe I'm a little more involved now. I'm walking in a lot with Elizabeth Rudisill and having a ball doing that. And I don't know. I just, it's a family affair for me. Again, I've got a big family, and so my players are just an extension of that family. And I've got a great assistant coach, and Emily Mason Berger. She was a four-time All-American at Georgia, and she's been with me longer than any other coaches has put up with me. She's in her ninth year with me now. And so we have a lot of fun, and she's great. Getting back to Candace, allowing us to do things. I've got a second assistant in Podesta Bang, and she's home now developing our young folks that aren't here. So just got a really good thing going, and like I said, have fun.
You mentioned the depth of this program as we wrap things up with you. Why do you think maybe this could be the year a couple months from now at La Costa that the stars align?
Well, we've been knocking on the door. Last year, I think we led up the first round and then just absolutely gave all of it back in round two and then fought hard on round three. But let's see. So I've got four starters going that would be going back to La Costa. Obviously, regionals is a different story, but getting through there. Hopefully, and then getting there with the four starters from last year. Lynn and Tilly have been there. Ava's been there. Sarah's been there. So I think the experience of playing it, you know, and I think La Costa softened up a little bit last year. Just knowing what we got to do to get to Monday. I feel like when we get to Monday, then Tuesday's a possibility, and you get in match play, anything's possible. But this team's hungry for sure, and I think they believe in each other. They got each other's back, and we'll just see what happens.
We could go on forever because we have plenty of stories through the decades, but we know you're a busy man, but certainly appreciate you joining us on College Golf Talk, Greg. All the best this week and the rest of the spring.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Pleased to save the very best for last, the namesake of the Darius Rucker Intercollegiate. Darius now joining us here at Long Cove. A pleasure. Thanks for carving out some time. We're in year 14 of this event. Let's go back to the discussions, the conversations, your involvement. How did this all come about from your perspective?
I've been talking about doing something. Because we the Goldfish has, we have our men's golf tournament, college golf tournament, which is still, down at Bulls Bay doing great. And I'm such a big Gamecock supporter and wanted to do something for the ladies. And good friends with Coach, we talked about it, and we started looking around, bantering around, South Carolina is such a great place. We could have had it. Charleston, we could have had it, and Columbia, there's great courses. And Long Cove said yes, and that was shocked us, that they would do this for us, and so when they came on board, it just became a no brainer, and instantly the level of teams was up there. I mean, and it's great to watch it grow like this, man.
Like, golf's been a big part of your life for decades and decades. Take us back. Do you remember when maybe you first picked up a golf club? What are some of your earliest memories of playing this game?
Oh, I still remember the first day I played golf like it was yesterday. I was 14, and my best friend, I used to go to his house a lot. And every time they'd go play golf, his dad would say, "We're going to play golf." I'd just ride my bike home, And then one day he asked if I wanted to go, and I went, and I loved it. And about a week later, his dad gave me my first set of golf clubs. And I would go with them once or twice a month. And then, later in high school, we'd go more and more. But it was instantly something I loved. And then when I got a little old enough that I could afford some real clubs and some good clubs and get out there and play, I wanted to get good. I didn't want to get good. I just didn't want to be that bad.
You mentioned the men's college event. Obviously, this women's event, you do the Monday after the Masters event, which it's been that 1994, I think, was the first year. We have a mutual acquaintance, Rob Goulet, who's a longtime agent for Ernie Els. He went to some concert at Sheryl Crow back in
the day. Oh, yeah. Well, I've been there forever.
What do you remember about that time in your life? I mean, you're touring, you're starting golf events, Tiger to come play.
It was Tiger play, yeah. We've had so many, you know, we've had Tiger, Jack, Barney, you know, such big names come and play the Monday after the Masters. And, you know, back then it was crazy because we were running around so much. You know, we were always on tour and, you know, coming off tour and doing MAM and then going back on tour and all that stuff. But we've been fortunate enough to raise so much money for charities in and around South Carolina and actually around the country. And it's just amazing that we're still doing that. It's really amazing.
You mentioned the touring. How did golf provide that balance of, okay, we're busy at night, but we got a lot of time during the day. How did that maybe sort of level off the professional side of things? And hey, let's go have some fun as well.
The funny thing about it is, you know, one of the things that golf did is it leveled off the how hard we'd go at night, because we really wanted to play golf the next day. So we stopped going so hard at night. We could get up and play golf, and it was a good thing, you know. And now, you know, I want to be the first person off on the golf course. Golf is a game that when you get, I don't know, when you love it the way I do, you're just so dedicated to it that you'll give up other things to do it. And I just love it. I'd play every day if I could.
What's the best moment, best score, the shot that you can just close your eyes and say, I had it for that instant?
Oh, good. The best score this day was amazing. I played, we played 18 and then we played 9. I shot 68 on the 18 and then I shot 2 under on the other 9.
Whoa.
I could not miss the ball. It was shocking. And then the next day, I went to the same course, Bulls Bay, same course, same setup, same wind, and shot 84. And golf.
That's golf.
That's golf right there.
In a nutshell, yep. No doubt. Brentley mentioned your mutual acquaintance. I'm going to go back in the archives. Coming out of college, I worked in Columbia, South Carolina, VOC and Sports Radio 1400, and I'd have you guys on promoting Monday at the Masters. Brentley's too young, Darius. He doesn't realize we're just older than him. Yeah. But I remember watching you guys in the elbow room in the mid-90s, late at night, maybe later than I needed to be out. Just go down to 5 points, and you guys would jump up there. What do you recall from that as we wrap things up, the professional side of things, of all the success you're having now as a solo artist, but to those early days where the elbow room scenarios and other places would pop up?
People always ask if I miss when we were the biggest band in the world, and I always say I don't. I miss when we were chasing it, when it was us against the world and we're playing the elbow room, we're playing a group, we're coming down here and playing music for them, you know, coming in the post office, playing the old post office, coming here to help them playing the old post office. You know, those were great days. I look back fondly on those days because we had so much fun and we worked so hard. But you know, here I am 59 and I think it all paid off.
What's next for you? What can fans expect?
I'm about done with my new record, and then I think we're gonna make some surprises after that. But you know, we'll see after that.
Well, Darius Rucker, always appreciate the time. Thank you for your continued commitment to this event and joining us here this week on College Golf Talk.
Thank you. And I want to say just real quick to the Golf Channel, thank you so much. What they've done, making us the first regular season women's golf tournament televised, and it's been amazing for us. I couldn't say thank you enough.
Well, we're glad to be here, and we hope to continue to do it for years to come.
Thank you.